You're listening to the Missionary Perspective Podcast with veteran missionaries Eric Johnson and Joshua Mead. We're glad you could join us. We trust this podcast will be both a blessing and a challenge as we relate topics in world evangelism from a missionary perspective. Now, here's Josh and Eric.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. This is Joshua Mead. I recently had the privilege to sit down with Dr. Bud Stedman, who served formally as the Executive Director for Baptist World Missions from April of 2009 until April of 2023. He now serves as a mission mentor, and I hope you'll listen to the entirety of this interview. You'll be blessed by his testimony and his passion and heart for missions. If you want to reach out and contact Brother Stedman for a meeting to learn more about his ministry, be sure to check out baptistworldmission.org. We'll leave some of the information on how to reach him personally in the section below. Dr. Stedman, thank you for joining us on the podcast. I look forward to hearing your testimony. Last night, listening to your preach, it's not only evident that you have a heart of a pastor, but you have a passion for missions. And tell us a little bit about how God led you into ministry and how you went from serving as a pastor in a local church to becoming the executive director of a mission board.
I'm glad to share. Well, let me go back to my childhood. I was from an unchurched family. I was saved at the age of 10 through a vacation Bible school outreach of a local Baptist church there in Tennessee. But during my youth, the Lord, in his grace in my life, even before I was saved, gave me a very inquisitive mind. Yeah. And one of the things I really enjoyed doing as a child was reading World Book. Okay. My mother had a set of World Book, and back before the video games and everything. And I loved studying the countries of the world. There was something that God put into my soul about enjoying travel, exotic things. And I think that was, as the old Puritans called it, prevenient grace. You know, even before I was saved, I think God was preparing me for what he wanted me to do in my life and ministry. So I was saved, after growing up at the age of 10, getting saved, I eventually joined a church, was baptized, and went away to Bible college, met my wife, and we went out into ministry. I was a youth pastor and then two senior pastorates, one in Raleigh, North Carolina, then the second, as you mentioned, in South Bend, Indiana. In the two senior pastorates that I held, the Lord brought me to churches that had already had a wonderful missions program. Okay. And I had the opportunity of seeing that to grow and develop. Had an opportunity at least once every year visiting one of our missionaries sent from our church. We had a large number of missionaries sent from our congregations in those two churches. And so Ruth and I, even before coming with Baptist World, traveled quite a bit ministering to our missionary family. We also had churches that God honored biblical teaching on grace giving, and we saw our missions programs financially blossom, and that afforded us with the opportunity to be able to make those trips. And so I think it was just basically having a commitment to biblical teaching on missions, biblical giving on missions, and that gradually grew in my heart as a greater burden for missions. When I was pastoring in Raleigh, North Carolina, we had a missionary, Tom Jackson, who was 50 years in West Africa. He was there in Liberia, and he was martyred in 1989 under the Charles Taylor Uprising in Liberia. Right. And that had a huge impact on my heart, you know, when we had a man out of our church that he and his wife gave their lives for Christ, it greatly impacted my commitment. And so going to South Bend, Indiana, when I became the pastor there at Community, we had a very wonderful missions program. We saw it grow. We saw God call a number of people out of our church to the mission field. And so we were very missions minded. And I always told the Lord, Lord, if you want me to do something in missions, let me know. And he eventually did.
That's terrific. So after pastoring for several years, God leads you into a whole new ministry overseeing a major mission board, Baptist World Missions, and you become the executive director of the mission board. Tell us a little bit about how that came to be, how you were led into serving as the executive director of the mission board, and tell us a little bit about the impact that your ministry had and how God used you during that tenure as the executive director.
Yeah, providentially, the Lord did a number of things early on in my life to prepare me for ministry with Baptist World. Dr. Monroe Parker was an evangelist. He was years ago president of Pillsbury Baptist Bible College. He was also one of the founding board members of Baptist World. I became very good friends with Dr. Parker back in the late 80s. His third wife, Ruby, was from a sister church to the church that I pastored there in North Carolina. At the same time, I was going through a graduate program with Dr. Fred Moritz, who was the executive director of Baptist World at the time. He had followed Dr. Parker in that role, and Fred and I were classmates, so we became friends. So when I went to South Bend as the new pastor, most of our board members at that time were from the Midwest. Okay. They invited me in very short order of being the new pastor there to become a board member with BWM. BWM has 32 board members, all pastors from around the United States. And so for a number of years, I served on the board. I became the chairman of the Fields Committee, which was responsible for organizing and interviewing those who came back to report to the board. And I took that very seriously and enjoyed it. And so in 2007, when Dr. Moritz announced his plan to retire, the board asked me to consider becoming the executive director because I'd been working functionally with the board as a board member. It took about a year and a half for us to decide that was God's will, but the Lord very quickly began to work in my heart and eventually got us there. So in 2009, we moved to the Decatur, Alabama area, which was originally Dr. Parker's home. That's why the board headquarters was there, is there. And so we served in that role for 14 years and very much excited about it. Baptist World is a church planting agency. There are other sister agencies that are equally emphasizing church planting, but some don't. Some are much broader than that. So we are unique in that we are an independent Baptist agency that focuses on church planting. And we're very thankful for those that God has brought to us.
Praise the Lord. I would like to ask about as your tenure as executive director and your interaction with church planting missionaries. From personal experience, our sending church pastor, when I grew up in Foster Lake, Michigan, he was had a heart for missions and was a good pastor. And it was just a great blessing to us, just helping us along the journey, and especially the first few years on the field. I saw a lot of advantages of having a pastor who had a keen understanding of missions, but he has a pastor's heart. And I love interacting with directors who are from the mission field because they understand some of the reality of on the ground. But there's also advantages, I think, of being a pastor and having a pastor's heart, but understanding missions as well to help missionaries kind of deal with some of the challenges. And so what are some maybe challenges that you see maybe young couples when they get to the field as a pastor that you see that maybe they need a missionary can help that you would see that they need help with? Or what are some of the major challenges missionaries face, especially the first few years on the field, their first term spiritually? I know we've talked about in our podcast before, culture shock, things like that. But from a pastoral perspective, what are some things you maybe see in general that are challenges for missionaries? And then are there things they can do to prepare for that better? Or what would some advice?
Sure. Well, you know, to answer the question eventually and to get there, I think it's a good to link my transition from pastoring to being the executive director. When the board asked me to move into that new role, it meant leaving the pastorate because the size of our agency, it was a requirement that I move to Alabama and be full-time in the new role. And it was quite shocking to me to think of that I would be leaving the pastorate because I'd been a pastor all of my adult life. So I studied the book of Acts that year and a half. I studied the book of Acts to really solidify my conviction that there was a biblical role for a mission agency. And I came to that conclusion, and something I had assumed, but it became more of a conviction. It's very important to remember that local churches send missionaries. Agencies do not send missionaries. They are contractual organizations that come alongside the local church to help the local church get their missionary to the field and then be successful on the field. But mission agencies that are biblical do not send missionaries. They help the local church. So what we found is there are many things that local churches can do to prepare their missionaries for the field. I mean, training them in the local church for ministry. The local church is the place where missions ministry training should take place. But there are things also that local churches may not be prepared to do, and that's why mission agencies exist. On Paul's first missionary journey, Paul was planting churches. On his second missionary journey, it says at the end of Acts 14 and into chapter 15, that Paul, on the second journey, went back confirming the churches. Now, those churches were churches that had been planted on his first missionary journey, and now he was going back not as the church planter, but as the church confirmer. And the word confirm there in the King James means to strengthen. So there was something that Paul could do that those churches could not do themselves for sustaining their ministry. And I'm not sure we understand all that was involved in that first century, but today, for example, one of the things that a mission agency can do for a missionary that's going out to the field is help them with financial planning. They can help with emergency evacuation. They can help with language acquisition. So a missionary going to the field needs to have a budget that is realistic. Most pastors do not have databases for every city in the world with cost of living. We have that in our financial department at Baptist World. Most pastors don't have access to knowing where language schools are and what is the best way to get language acquisition in a country. That is something that the missionary is going to have to deal with right away. So creating a realistic budget, language acquisition, housing acquisition, BWM can come alongside because of its resources, which include also missionaries on the field that local church pastor may not know, to help the missionary get to the field, get established, and then become successful in ministry. Handling finances, dealing with visa regulations. There are just so many things that, though the local church is the sending entity, that the agency can come alongside to help them. So what we do at Baptist World, when a missionary is appointed, their pastor is involved totally in the appointment process. Their pastor is involved in setting their budget for the field. They're part of the discussion of the formalizing of that budget. We have a week of orientation for the new missionaries where we do intensive training on how to do deputation. Most sending pastors may not have the same access to that information. The second year, they come for a week, and we talk about on-field ministry. So we deal with things like insurance on the field. We deal with a lot of things that just really relate to life, either that first week of orientation of their life for the next couple of years on deputation, and then the second year we deal with their life in getting to the field, especially the first few years on the field and getting established. You know, how to develop the right relationship with the senior missionary you're going to be working with so that there is not interpersonal relationship problems. All of those things are really important in getting the missionary off to the right start. And Baptist World does require that its missionaries, their first term, work with a veteran that's been approved so they can learn the ropes of the mission field.
Excellent. That's wonderful. Let's say a young pastor. It's a young man or maybe a couple and their church has surrendered to missions. And at the end, before we finish, I'll have you maybe give some encouragement on how a missionary can check out BWM. Where does the process start if they want to look into BWMS, Possible Mission Board, but what would be some advice you give to a pastor who hasn't gone through that process yet, or maybe their missionary is now on the field, they finished that process, what was something maybe you would give advice to a pastor, because we have several pastors that listen, on how they can continue to cultivate that relationship on the field with their missionaries on the field? Because I know of several examples where missionaries get to the field and they sometimes feel disconnected from their sending church. And it all depends on the experience of the home church pastor and things like that. What are some things a pastor can do to continue to maintain that relationship, encourage the missionary on the field? What are some advice you might give?
Sure. Well, I think the first thing is the pastor has the responsibility as the sending entity to pick the mission agency that they're going to be working with, certainly to counsel the missionary together that they decide on what God's will is, and then to develop a relationship with that mission agency. Because the mission agency, once the missionary gets to the field, is going to be doing a lot of the logistics in helping that missionary, and the pastor needs to be included in understanding of that discussion. When we appoint a new missionary at Baptist World, the sending pastor is invited to come and go through all of the interview process, all the discussion, the planning, setting the budget, those kinds of things. So I think developing a partnering relationship with the agency that they choose is very important foundationally. And then beyond that, good communication, email, phone calls. A sending pastor should visit the field of his missionary. We have a policy at Baptist World that one of our administrators visits each of his missionaries. They were divided up by regions of the world. Once every 3 years, one of our administrators is on the field with that missionary. But when a new missionary goes, one of our administrators is with that new missionary within the first year. So within that first 12 months, someone from our office is visiting that field, ideally to help them. Okay. And I would encourage the pastor to take the same approach. You know, the first year is usually pretty traumatic for a new missionary. Yes. And for the pastor to go over and see what's happening, maybe toward the end of the first year, you know, just to know how to encourage, how to challenge the folks back home to pray. I think that if there was more of that missionary partnership, I think that would be very helpful. Our new director is Dr. Ben Sinclair. He was 21 years in Cameroon, West Africa. And he has written, in my opinion, the finest book on missions philosophy that I've ever read. It's called Missionary Partnership. It was his doctoral dissertation, and I had the privilege of helping him with some editorial work on that, and then he published it later. And it is outstanding. You can actually get it on Amazon. So I would encourage a pastor who is sending a missionary to the field to read Dr. Ben Sinclair's book, Missionary Partnership, and it will really help him to get the big picture. But then to go to the field and at the end of that first year, hopefully, and see what they're doing and know how to encourage the church family would be very beneficial.
Excellent. I'm working through that book, and we have him scheduled in the future to do an interview with him, actually, after I get done with that book. I'm looking forward to that. Well, tell us about kind of this new venture in your life now. You've stepped down as executive director, and now you would say your title is mission mentor. Now, is that missionary mentor or just mission mentor, where you're helping churches and missionaries?
Yeah.
What does that involve now?
It is mission mentor. And the way this really happened in my life, I became the executive director at the age of 55. I am now 69 still, thankfully. I'm reaching that number of perfection with a zero after it. But when I was 55 and came with a mission, left the pastorate, and I set 15-year goals. I've always been a very goal-oriented individual. And we set some very clear goals that we wanted to accomplish. And by God's grace, many of those things were done. And so about 3 years ago, so this would have been at the end of my 12th year of being the executive director, I knew there was a new benchmark coming and that I would have to either set new goals, a 5 or 10 year plan and remain with Baptist World, or evaluate what God was doing in our life currently. And so I began to pray. I began to look in the scriptures at passages that talked about preparing the next generation of leadership. And the Lord really dealt with my heart about not only the next generation of leadership for Baptist World, but the next generation of leadership for Christ in the Stedman family. It was during that time I wrote a book for my grandchildren called In the Shadow of Chimney Top, and it's my childhood stories. Basically an unsaved redneck in Tennessee coming to Christ and how God worked in my life and changed me as a young person. It has a lot of Scots-Irish history and history of the region of East Tennessee. So I wanted my grandchildren to have a link to the heritage of their family, my side of the family, and what Christ had done for future purposes as part of mentoring them. That came really out of reading the scriptures about, you know, the hoary head teaching the children and the grandchildren. And at the same time, being convinced that it was proper to have generational transition before I get old and decrepit. Right now, I have wonderful health, very much able to travel the world and serve the Lord. My wife in this new role and I are on the road at least 200 days a year. And someone has described what we do as perpetual deputation, though we're not raising money. We're basically preaching and ministering. You know, I began to pray 3 years ago, Lord, is it time for us to seek the next generation of leadership? What am I doing to mentor our grandchildren? At that time, our oldest grandchild was only seven, so they're still on the younger side and had opportunity. And basically, for about a year, I prayed without talking to my wife and sought the Lord about what he was doing in my heart. And then I shared with her my burden, and she entered into prayer with me, and we prayed for about a year together. Well, during that second year, I became convinced that it was time to seek the next executive director at Baptist World. And so I presented that to the board with a plan for securing a younger man for this role. And I also presented to them the idea that we would continue with Baptist World if they would approve it, basically on the road full time. Baptist World did not have any salary for a position like this. So we had prepared ourselves over the years to be able to do this financially from our savings. Okay. And so the board approved that joyfully, getting a free full-time person on the road for BWM with no financial cost to the mission. Yeah. They were excited about that. And so the idea is that we will work with pastors and missionaries as they request, as they desire. That could include preaching missions conferences. I also preach revival meetings, visiting the field, visiting churches. One of the things that really I'm excited about is that there are a number of churches that are talking with us about helping them develop a written missions philosophy for their church. They kind of know what they're doing in missions, but they don't have anything written down. And sometimes they don't know what to do when Aunt Bertha comes and says, I've got a niece who's a missionary who is with, you know, the United Methodist Church. Will you support her? And so helping them to have a written missions philosophy that will protect them and help with their relationships even internally in the church, that's been going well with a number of churches we've been helping with. We are continuing to visit the field and help some of our BWM missionaries especially. And it's a joy. One of the other things that has come out of this, Dr. Ed Nelson, who went home to be with the Lord last year at the age of 99, was an original board member with Baptist World Mission. And he lived in Colorado. He had been a pastor out there for many years, a very influential pastor. And he was our Colorado rep in his later years for BWM, helping smaller churches, trying to get doors open for our BWM missionaries. Well, when he went home to glory, we had no one in the Rocky Mountain West. And so we have three grandchildren. My son is an assistant pastor in Westminster, Colorado at Tri-City Baptist, and three grandkids out there. So we're going to try to spend as much of time as possible in the summers when pastors need help with Bible school or special meetings or door-to-door, and help smaller churches and build relationships so that we can hopefully open doors for our BWM deputies to go west. A lot of pastors in the East get calls every day. Some of the guys I'm talking to out west are saying, we rarely hear from missionaries. So we want to focus as much as we can on creating relationships in the Rocky Mountain West. And I'm already doing that. I already have had some wonderful opportunities with smaller churches that really can't even afford to pay our way there at times, but we can go and spend some time with them and help them and encourage them and hopefully build a relationship with BWM with those congregations.
Tremendous. Well, let's close with this. How would a pastor reach out to you personally to schedule a possible meeting? And then how would a pastor and maybe a candidate out of their church, a couple looking into missions, reach out and begin the initiation of contacting BWM to consider them as a mission board?
Sure. Our website is BaptistWorldMissionNot.org. Okay. I often tell folks that's not spelled with a B, B-A-B-T-I-S-T, but if they're considering missions and they're Baptist, they already know that. But BaptistWorldMission.org. My personal email address is B. Steadman, that's S-T-E-A-D-M-A-N, at BaptistWorldMission.org. So they can contact the home office, they can contact me via email, and I'll be glad to share information with them. There's a lot of really good resources on the website at Baptist World, but apparently they have one of my old bios since I only have five grandchildren on there.
Sure.
Yeah, but we'll get that updated. But yes, and Dr. Sinclair is accessible also through the website. There are a number of my sermons on the BWM website, actually going back to my community years. I started having a recording ministry of my sermons about 25 years ago. And so there are a lot of those on there if they'd like to go and listen to a topic, a lot of missions topics, to find out, you know, the flavor of my preaching, if they'd like for us to come to a conference. And so that website has a lot of resources for them.
Very good. Well, I appreciate your time. And I've been blessed by your ministry personally this week. It's been a privilege getting to know you. And I hope if you're a pastor out there, a young man looking into missions, a young lady, a couple, BWM is definitely a mission worth checking out. And we'd encourage you to check that out. So thank you so much, First.
Thank you very much. It's a joy to be with you.